Good morning. What a treat it is to be here this morning, as it is every Sunday morning. Marv Levy used to tell his team, his Buffalo Bills, there's no other place I'd rather be right now. Well, I'm glad I'm not in Ralph Stadium right at the moment. I'm glad I'm here. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would aid this poor beggar to show the other poor beggars where the food is this morning, that we may glorify you, that your name would be exalted, and that we would come to know that Christ is alive and well, able to save to the uttermost. And we give you the glory, and we give you the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Heroes, we all have them. When I was a kid, my hero was Bobby Orr. For those who weren't born way back then, he was an old ancient guy that used to play defense. He turned the whole game around. And I'm sure that there were heroes in your life as well, people that you emulated. I have a great nephew who, on Facebook, all you see, he's in Spider-Man outfits, and he's in Batman. He likes all the superheroes. And if you're into movies, which I know some people are here, that you have favorite actors and actresses that you follow, that you take in what they do. And there are people who have heroes in the arena of science and politics or history. And we admire people who make an impact in our lives. And of course, this isn't limited to the secular arena, but also spiritually as Christians, we have people that we would like to emulate that we see it in the scriptures. Some of you have contemporary heroes and others of yesteryear, but when you read the scriptures, you see people who thrill your soul. Like I'm going through the book of Joshua right now, and you know, he was told in the beginning, be strong and be courageous. And when you read through the book of Joshua, you see how strong and how bold and how courageous he is. And maybe some of you would like to be a Daniel who was able to stand even in the little things and eventually going down to the lion's den, knowing that he would fear no evil, for the Lord thy God was with him. Others want the flamboyance of Elijah, where parted the water, raised the dead, able to, slay the prophets of Baal. Some would want the power of Moses. And some of us would like to be Paul. And of course, wasn't it Paul who said, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow my example. Be like me. Bible tells us that we are a living epistle for all to see. So whether you realize it or not, you are sending a message to someone who's reading your life. But today we'll be looking at an individual who shows us a biblical pattern of faith. Now this person is not written in the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. She's not usually one that you would picture as a woman of faith. However, when we begin to look at her life this morning, you will see that she has a dynamic faith, a living faith, one that you would like to emulate. And the woman that I'm talking about this morning is Eve. Yes, Eve, Adam's wife. She's known as the mother of all living, and she's known for being woefully deceived to the point of bringing down the human race along with her husband. So she's not exactly on your radar for someone to emulate. But when we look at her life after the garden, you'll see a wonderful demonstration of her faith. Her faults are numerous for sure, but she reminds me a little bit of Peter. You know Peter. The guy who said, I'm going to do it all. The guy that says, I know the answer to who you are. And I'll never forsake you. I'll never run out on you. And when given the test, he denied Jesus 3 times. But who do we see standing on the day of Pentecost, delivering one of the most prolific sermons ever written in the New Testament. It's Peter. Who is it that writes most about faith and how to have faith in these last days? It's Peter. Eve is definitely in that class. She is well worthy of being mentioned in the same sentence as Peter or Moses. Today we'll look at Genesis 4 and we'll learn a lesson of faith from a fallen woman called Eve. The first thing you can learn from Eve is that her faith was a present faith. The word present means now, current, presently, existing. This describes Eve. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 4. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Her faith was present in that she was anticipating the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Did she have it all together? Did she know all the ramifications? No. But she had enough faith to realize that this could be the fulfillment of that prophecy. She was looking forward to it. She knew that her seed would be the victor over all and would be the deliverer. Listen to her language in verse 1 again. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Faith must be in present tense if it's going to be effective. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is presently, now, currently, contemporary, right where you are, right in the situation, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's imperative to have a faith that meets you in your situation, in your present situation. Does your faith do that? Does your faith meet you where you're presently seated? Do you have faith to deal with your present circumstances? When the money is kind of running thin in your bank account, is your faith now that God will provide? Maybe you're sick. Do you have the faith now that God is able to heal you, that he is presently here? Eve knew without God, she would be in a heap of trouble. She was looking for deliverance in her present circumstance. When you need something today, tomorrow is too late. Present tense. Eve needed deliverance. She knew she needed deliverance. She wanted deliverance, and she wanted it now. Her faith was present. She understood her faith had to be sufficient for today, not tomorrow. Without a present faith, the current, the future does not look too good. And this is the whole point Paul was making in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Is that how you presently see things? Do you see the resurrection as being present? Or have you tucked him away again, back in the tomb, back with the Christmas tree, and you bring him back out on Easter Sunday? Is the resurrection today? Is he present in your life today? Is that resurrection power present in your lives? Powerful enough to meet you where you are today? If it's not, you will not be motivated to preach the gospel because you're not sure whether God can actually save anyone, heal anyone, deliver anyone. Is he alive presently today? Is today Resurrection Sunday? If you don't believe, we all fall woefully short of what Christ has for us in our lives. Now, there are consequences of not having present faith. Eve didn't always have present faith, did she? Where was her faith when the serpent was talking to her? Where was her faith when the enemy was trying to trick her? Where was Adam's faith? Adam's faith was in the blame game. This woman that you gave me. She did not exercise her faith when she was tangled with the enemy. Because of this, she and the whole race suffered dire consequences. Adam did not have present faith either. And both were defeated by the enemy. We will be defeated today if we're not presently believing today. Faith must be ever present because the enemy, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, he is constantly going around seeking whom he may devour. He's on duty today. He's presently looking for you. Is your faith present enough to meet that challenge? That's the question. He's having a present faith is understanding what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We walk by faith, not by sight. I love Pilgrim's Progress. How about you? It's something that you should have on your bookshelf. If you haven't read it lately, get it out. It's worth your reading. And I want to take a reading from Pilgrim's Progress with Christian and his companion Faithful when they're captured by the giant Despair and they're throwing in the Doubting Castle dungeon. Listen to what Bunyan's account says on this. Well, on Saturday about midnight, they began to pray and continued in prayer until almost break of day. Now, a little before it was day, good Christian is one half amazed, break out into a passionate speech. What a fool, said he. Here I am sitting in this stinking dungeon when I may have been walking at liberty. For I have a key in my bosom called promise that I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle. Then said Hopeful, that is good news, good brother. Pluck it out from your bosom and try. Then Christian pulled it out of his bosom and began to try it at the dungeon door, whose bolt, as he turned the key, gave back, and the door flew open with ease, and Christian and Hopeful both came out. Then he went to the outward door that leads into the castle yard, and with his key opened that door also. After he went to the iron gate, for that must be open too, but that lock went desperately hard, yet the key did open it. Then they thrust open the gate to make their escape with speed. But that gate, as it opened, made such a creaking that it wakened Giant Despair, who was hastily rising to pursue his prisoners, felt his limbs to fail, for his fits took him again, so that he could by no means go after them. Then they went on and came to the king's highway, and so were safe, because they were out of his jurisdiction. You have a key. You have a key presently that is able to unlock every door. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Eve had a present faith. But secondly, her faith was a personal faith. Listen to her words once more from verse 1. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She accepted what God said to her personally. Personally, do you own it? Is it yours? Does it belong to you? Presently owned by you. Not someone else, but you. She took what God promised personally and inserted into her own life. Faith is a personal thing. It must be retained personally if it's to be effective. You have to apply faith to your own lives. You have to have faith to put it into action. You must apply it to your life. This is how salvation is secured. It's a personal transaction between you and God. Another person's faith will not save you. You may be born into a Christian family, but this does not mean that you're a Christian. Young ones, if you're here and you think that you're getting into heaven because of your dad and your mom's faith, that is not the way it works. You have to have a personal faith. You have to have one that you own. Salvation is a personal transaction between you and the Lord, because it said that God does not have any grandchildren or nieces or nephews. He only has children. Eve knew she needed a personal Savior, personal redemption, and she grabbed hold of both of the word of the Lord for herself. See, latched onto it. Picture it. You're in perfection. You have a perfect marriage. You have everything going for you. Then everything goes south. But you, on the way out the door, the Lord tells you, "Don't worry, I got it under control. I'm going to give you something." Do you accept that? Do you believe it for yourself? Do you believe that your debts are paid personally? Paul makes this clear in Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Believe, do, and give. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 8, "Also I say unto you, whoever confesses me before men, shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." Faith is a personal work, not a group effort. Just because you attend Evangelical Church of Fairport does not make you a Christian any more than me going to McDonald's makes me a hamburger. It has to be personally effective. You're saved into a body, but you must come into the family individually. In order for God's promise of salvation to be effective, you must take it for yourself. Faith must be personally applied. And what this means is this: Eve personally applied her faith into her life. If you turn to Hebrews, please, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. "For we have become partakers of Christ. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Verse 1 of chapter 4. "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, for not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do you hear what the writer of Hebrews is saying here? You see what transpired, don't you? People will hear this message this morning about the need of having a present faith, a personal faith, and will not listen. They will walk out that door unchanged. Everybody in this room will hear the same message this morning. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. If you don't apply this word to your life personally, then you will not receive salvation and you will not have a present faith. Eve applied the promise to her life. I have a man. She saw the promise of being hers and she put it into her life. And of course, Jesus proclaimed this principle of personal faith at least 30 times, 35 times in the gospel. And here's just a few of them. I'm not going to give you all 35. Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turned around and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, for your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Matthew 9:29. Then he touched her eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Mark 5:34. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Mark 10:52. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Luke 7:50. Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Luke 8:25. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You see, Jesus wants us to have a present faith. They were all in the boat together. There were other boats there, and they're all seeing the same waves. And the disciples who had Christ there with them were afraid. They said to him, "Don't you care that we die?" He was present in the boat. All they had to do was personally apply that. Luke 8:48, and he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." You cannot live on another person's faith. It must be personally accepted and applied. I must ask again, are you thinking just because you attend ECF with a bunch of believers, you're saved? Do you believe just because you come to church, you listen to the word, and you go out and you leave here, and you live a very moral life, you don't kick the dog, you don't swear at your wife, and you don't murder your kids? That's not what it's saying. It's saying is have a personal, present relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's being said here. Maybe you're thinking your wife is saved, so you're covered. Not so, my friend. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Eve had a present faith, a personal faith, and lastly, her faith was a persevering faith. Look in Genesis 4:25 with me. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, named him Seth. "For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed." Her faith persevered in spite of the circumstances. In verse 1 of chapter 4, we see an exclamation of joy by Eve. "I have the man." She thought that Cain with the seed that was promised. But we, as we read, we see that we find it didn't go the way Eve had hoped. Cain turned out terribly, didn't he? He became a murderer and a bigamist. His life turned out the way that you envisioned. Maybe you had something in your life gone to go south. And the plans that you had and the hopes that you had and the plans that you made, for some reason or other, collapsed, fell apart, were ripped apart one by one. Picture how Eve must have felt. She was saying, "Oh God, you have given me my deliverer. That's why I named him Cain." This must have been a bitter pill to swallow. How about you? What do you do when things don't go according to plan? Do you sour? Do you pout? Do you kick and scream? And what do you do? What happens when that medical report wasn't the one that you hoped for? What about the job promotion that you were in line for? Oh, God is faithful, and He has to give me this promotion. And you don't get it. What if your kids go astray? What if they go south? You had it all mapped out for them. They're going to do this, they're going to go to college, they're going to do that, they're going to have whatever. I taught them the scriptures, and I even believe that if I trained them up well, when they're old, they will continue. I bought all of that. And look at where they are now. Not serving the Lord, could care less if they serve the Lord. And all I get is heartache. And the only time I hear from them is when they want money. Or they need out of jail. What do we do? Do you have a present faith? You have a present faith. Do you have a personal faith that perseveres? That's what we need. Do you persevere? Do you still hold on to the word? Does the promise of God still light your path? Oh Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus, you are still the light of the world. In them, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. The nation of Israel had the promised land in the palm of their hand and let it slip right through their fingers. Why? Because they didn't like what they saw. They said, those guys are big and we're just little squirts. And God said, it's yours. Take it. Ten didn't have the present nor personal faith. Two did. Are your giants so big that your faith isn't able to meet their challenge? Some trust in chariots and others in horses, but I'll trust in the Lord my God. Or do you try to go out with somebody else's faith, like what Saul wanted to give David his armor? And of course, all that heavy armor was no good to David. David said, look, this is my fight. I have to fight the giant the way that I know how, the way the Lord taught me how. And he slew the giant with one shot. But why did David have that confidence? Why was David able to go out and face that 9-foot guy? Because he said, I kept my daddy's sheep. There was a bear and there was a lion. And guess what? The Lord delivered me from them. He's no different. He had a present, personal faith that persevered, that met the day. And what did he tell the giant? He said, I don't come to you in any other name but the name of the Lord himself. He knew the battle wasn't his. He knew that it was the Lord's. And he had a present personal faith that would persevere in that hour of need. And back to the 12 spies, only Joshua and Caleb persevered in that generation. They did not let circumstances dictate the strength of their faith. And of course, this is the whole parable, of the point of the parable of the sower. People prove or disprove their faith by whether or not they carry on to the end. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, if you falter in the day of adversity, then your faith is small. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That is a present personal faith, if I ever saw one, that was persevering in the day. Eve persevered in God. Two common denominators in verse 1 and verse 25. Look in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Genesis. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Now look in verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again and bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. These verses point to the source of Eve's strength, God himself. Our faith is present and our faith is personal because of God himself. It's all of grace. Her life was not wrapped up solely in the promise of the Redeemer, but the Redeemer himself. That's the difference. The rich young ruler wanted the promise of eternal life, but not the giver of it. How many of you know people that you witness to? They want their marriage to get better, but they don't want the one who can make it better. The young man went away sorrowful because he would not place everything he owned and all that he was in Christ alone. If anyone is to persevere in his faith, it must not be in his or her strength, but God himself. Eve's hope was in her God like many others. Psalm 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul wait patiently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Think about that. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. me. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen this morning. Let's wrap this up. You've been so patient. Christ's gospel message is loud and clear through the life of Eve, isn't it? A biblical faith is ever-present, personal, and persevering. All of these were evident in Eve. Consider Eve's life. She carried a lot on her shoulders. By encouraging her husband to rebel against God, she helped bring suffering and ruin upon her children and all her descendants. Yet she found hope in the same promised seed that we all look to. She was dubbed the original bad girl of the Bible, and most people think of her legacy as one of sin and despair for all mankind. But through her faith, she has another legacy, one of hope in the seed, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Understanding Eve and how God worked in and through her gives us hope and teaches us the importance of looking to Christ when all seems lost. Look, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what the particular circumstances are in your life. But I do know that Eve's perseverance proved this one principle. It isn't necessarily how you start, but how you end. It's whether or not you cross the finish line in Jesus Christ. We all sometimes don't get out of the blocks the way that we would like to. But he who began a good work in you shall complete it. He'll get you across that finish line. Will this be you? It can, and all it takes for you is to reach out to Christ right now. You don't need to know all the ins and outs. Eve didn't know that. She just grabbed a hold of the one who could save her, Jesus Christ. Grab a hold of him this morning. Make him present. Make him personal. And you'll see the perseverance. Come to Christ today, right now, not tomorrow. You're not promised that. I don't know what will happen to us once we leave these gates. You need a personal, present faith now. I pray that you do. I beg that you do. I beseech you. I urge you to have this faith. Turn to Christ. Right here, right now. Turn to him. If you have any questions, see me afterwards. Somebody seated beside you. Ask him about this present, personal, and persevering faith. They'll share it with you. But whatever you do, don't leave here without turning your life over to Christ. Don't leave this place, Christian, without making a resolve that your faith will be present, that your faith will be personal, and that in Christ and by his grace, you will persevere. Make that resolve. Be Joshua. Be Caleb. Be Eve. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that whenever things look lost, they're not with you. Whenever our faith needs to be rejuvenated, we have you. And Father, I pray that this morning that your word has been an encouragement to your people, that it has caused us to once again grab a hold of this wonderful grace. May all glory and all praise be given to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
please stand?
Father, Son, and